Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Are you a walker that would like to become a runner? Do you see those people out there, winter, spring, summer, fall, rain or shine? They are out there running and you just know that they're so dedicated. Sometimes you think they're a little nuts, but there's that little part of you that says, I'm kind of envious. Boy, I wish I could just get out there, clear my mind, blow out the old windpipes, really just clean out our arteries and get out there, breathe the fresh air and run. Well, we're going to teach you how to do it here. My guest is Dr. Thomas Altina. He's Associate Professor of Exercise and Movement Science at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. Welcome to the show, Dr. Altina. So,
thank you, Melanie.
Running. I am myself a walker and, you know, I've always wanted to run. I always recommend people wear running shoes, even if they're walking. So give us your best running 101. Get us started. Day one, learning how to run. And what if it starts to pound in our chest and we can't catch a breath? What do we do?
Good question. I think it starts in two basic places of the body, and they're separated by about as far as you can get. It starts with your feet. It starts with your mind. And starting out with the mind, we'll start from the top and work our way down. I think your brain has to work very hard to say, I can run, I can do this, and a lot of positive reinforcement. Sometimes our mind will limit us to feeling that pain and saying, I need to slow down, I need to stop. And so training your mind to say, this is my goal, this is what I want to do, and part of it's running. Now, running doesn't mean that you have to be a world-class athlete. Running just means having both feet off the ground at one point in time or another. And running at a 12-minute mile pace is going to be terrific. If we do a comparison of walking at 4 miles an hour versus a shuffle jog at 4 miles an hour, you're going to burn more calories just because you are shuffling and you've got a little bit more bounce to your step, so to speak. So the mind saying, I'm going to jog this, I'm going to run this, and having that mindset when you set out is very good. Now, when it comes to running, if you're not traditionally a runner, it doesn't have to be the entire time that you have set out or distance that it has to be running. When it comes to beginning, oftentimes I make the recommendation to different groups and even some of my students is start with jogging and then walk for a few minutes. So jog for 4 minutes, walk for two, jog for four, walk for two. And it's not necessarily do I feel bad or do I feel fatigue after 4 minutes that I have to walk, but just getting yourself into the jogging. Now, the next week, it would be jog for five, run for one. I mean, walk for one, and so on. So you slowly take that walk time and make it smaller, and eventually you're at a 10 to 2 ratio for a little bit longer time. So elongating those jogging and running times is a really good way to increase the amount of time that you are actually running versus walking. There's no shame in walking during a marathon. I'll just tell you that straight up. Now let's go to your feet. The feet, oftentimes we make the mistake of having the wrong shoes. Now, if you've gone into a running shoe store recently, or you've been online with different companies, there is a confusing myriad of choices. And I do recommend if you're new, if you've not been in the running shoe market for a while, I would go to a local professional, not someone in the mall, someone who has their mom and pop shoe store that specialize in running, and help them understand what you're trying to do. Give them a lot of information, and they're going to help you make better shoe choices. There are lots of things. There's barefoot runners, which I don't necessarily recommend.
No, I just could not even see doing that, and I know they say it's so much better for your feet, but I mean, I like my Saucony, I love my The Beast, you know, and Asics, and so yes, you do have to go into a good running shoe store, let them look at whether you're a pronator, a supinator, you know, let them look at your feet and see what kind of support you need, because I'll tell you, I agree with you completely, Dr. Altina, it is all in your feet. If your feet start to hurt or give up on you, your mind is not going to wrap itself around keeping going.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I could probably talk for an hour about running shoes and how they've changed and how you make the right or the wrong choice on them. I'll try to not deviate that too far. But with running shoes, there are many different choices that you can make. This whole idea of running barefoot or minimus type of a running shoe is not for everyone. especially not for the beginner. I know a number of people who've tried it and who developed stress fractures fairly quickly because they didn't acclimate to it. I do recommend having a shoe that allows for a lot of movement of your toes, not sliding around, but for them to spread out. And also a fairly stiff, dense midsole rather than super soft and squishy, which is going to transfer that shock of hitting your feet on the ground up your body towards your lower back. Oftentimes people will wear shoes too long and they're too worn out. They probably have a three or four-year-old pair of running shoes that they used to wear, and they continue wearing them because they're the running shoes. Get a new pair. You should not be putting too much more than about 400 to 500 miles on a pair of running shoes. Some of them you can get a little bit more mileage out of. But when we're talking about confusion, there's a lot of new technologies, a new mentality when it comes to running, and it's not for everybody. And so if you're starting out, stay away from the minimalist type of running shoe where you're not buying very much shoe.
Okay, so now once we've found our good shoe and we're thinking we're cardiovascular enough, or aren't we? That interval training, as you said, walking is not a dirty word, and being able to walk and run, do that shuffling, kind of get yourself going, then when do you know it's time? Do you know it's time to pick up the pace? Can you overdo that and you pick up the pace a little too fast and then you're like, dang it, that was too much, and you take it down again? Your mind can really be the deciding factor in this.
Yeah. Well, some days are going to be better than others, and some days you're going to feel like your feet aren't even touching the ground. You feel so good. And other days, well, you feel like you're underneath the ground while you're trying to finish. So understanding the limits as far as what is my normal pace, honestly, you go by feel. Oftentimes, you may feel good, push it a little bit, and if you don't feel quite as good, let's just trudge through this this workout and get through it. And so, yes, listen to your body. But there are ways that you can overdo that, meaning that you progress with too much distance, you push too hard with pace, and you'll know that after your workout, maybe in the hours following, maybe the days following, even assessing your sleep patterns, that can play a role, but also your muscular pain. If you have a lot of muscular pain, specifically in your quads and your hams and your lower legs, may not want to push it on your next workout quite as much because your body's still in recovery. And a lot of people think that marathon training is going to be something where you're just constantly on the go, constantly running, and high mileage. It really isn't.
No, and I would think you have to have that hard day, easy day training system. And now, Dr. Altina, in the last minute or so, give us your best advice for becoming a runner that, if we do it the right way, could become something that stays with you for life.
Yeah. Most of the beginning marathon training plans are ones that acclimate your body to the distance, not necessarily improve fitness tremendously or cause weight loss tremendously either, but they acclimate the body. I believe that having a positive experience with this training is something that is going to translate itself into, I am a runner, I am a marathon runner, I've completed a marathon, and having that self-efficacy, that want to, is going to be there. That desire is going to be reinforced. And maybe you won't run a second or a third marathon, but you at least have that confidence to say, I am a runner, and I enjoyed it when I did it, and I still enjoy it, even though I'm only doing 3 to 5 miles most days of the week.
So you can begin, set your goal, don't overdo your pace. Make sure you find a good running shoe store, a store that specializes, can look at your feet, decide what you need as far as support, arch support, softness, or the hardness of a shoe can make or break your experience in running. You can shuffle, you can mix it up with a little bit of walking. This is not a dirty word. Set a goal for yourself. Maybe even keep a journal of how long you went and how long it took you to go certain distance. That's the way that we can all kind of develop this way of making exercise and fitness a real, true part of our lives. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate, and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on Radio MD. Stay well.